And you can tell her about what happened in Beauty Shop. That's a good one.
Oh, you can tell her. You can tell those things, Barbara, and I can.
I don't know. Not so good. You know, because nobody ever dreams that you're going to end up in a place like Dawson City. Never. And certainly I sure didn't, but I was wishing for a change from big city and depression years. And suddenly I get a letter from my uncle, in it were ticket from Calgary on to Vancouver, on to Skagway, then up to here, both of us, inside two tickets. Well, I said to my sister, that's the answer to my prayer. I'm going. And Minnie said, no. Think about it for another month. And I says, no, no. I says, opportunity knocks but once. But I says, I'll tell you what. You stay home. And I'll go ahead. And if I feel it's safe, you can come along. And of course, Dad and Mother couldn't say much. But Dad said, oh, sis, they used to call me. You know, that's an awful place to go because that's man's country. In fact, I think they still carry guns in their hip pockets. I says, well, I don't know about that, but all I know is I'm not staying. And I said, well, you'd have to give me your blessing because if you don't, I won't be able to come back if I don't like the place. Well, then when Winnie heard me saying, I'll send for you, she says, oh, not on your life. I won't let you out of my sight. If you go, I'll go. So that's how we got here.
And where was this? Where was your home?
In Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary. Yes, you were born there?
No, I was born in Vancouver in 1912, first of December.
And what was your maiden name?
Tamagi.
T-A-M-A-G-I. T-A-M-A-G-I.
Yeah.
And your first name is Marlene.
Yeah, Marlene. Or Yeiko. You can put down Y-E-I-K-O.
Y-E-I-K-O.
I like that name.
Everybody likes Yeiko mm-hmm. because Yeiko. It's unusual.
Yeah, of I think it's a very good name.
Is that what
name.
They call you here?
No, not too many. But those who knew me earlier, they all say, well, I know you as Yeiko, and I can't help but calling you Yeiko.
You had a friend here some time ago who addressed you as Yeiko.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She sort of remember. So, of course, you know, when we came here, we had all the intention of working for a Japanese bazaar. We heard about this Japanese man with the store. Remember Kawakami?
Mm-hmm.
Had a Japanese bazaar? Well, when we came here, everything was run down. And he wasn't hardly making any living. He had a stroke and he was crippled up. But fortunately, both Winnie and I had a trade. We were both beauticians and a barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And there was hardly any business, but at least we could turn to it. But we didn't bring any tools. So we heard about Mrs. Hickey, and we thought we were going to borrow a few of the tools. On our way to find Ida Hickey, we ran into Mrs. Firth, the old Mrs. Firth. And of course, you know what it is. You're coming from city to Dawson City, you walk with the silk stockings on. And right away when Mrs. Firth saw us, she says, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. You're a newcomer. And I says, yes, we are. I can tell, you foolish girls, get back and put red flannels on. You're living in your car, not
now
in
what time of the month? A year was that?
I came here in April.
Well, it's still pretty cold there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. It was 40 below. In fact, that was mm-hmm. the year we had a Yukonia fire. I remember our home was in Rochester, in King Street in the second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first thing we felt was the, you know, floor were not level.
Yes.
And I said to my sister, you know, I just feel I'm still on a boat. It just seems, you know, you were going up and down like this. But even though my sister Winnie felt terribly homesick, by the time we got to Skagway onto train, and I was discussing with all the boys, you know, hockey matches and stuff like that that went on in hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And, probably I was sort of, worried, but I didn't show because I didn't dare show that I was maybe concerned. Mm-hmm. But one thing I never did, and that was let anyone know how I felt. So when Winnie stopped bawling, I says, oh, come on now. I says, millions have gone into Dawson City and they all came out too. And certainly you and I are no exception.
You've been here 34 years.
So we're going to go, and I says, we can put up with that for 2 years and see how things are. Well, goodness gracious me, here I am. After 30 years, I'm still here.
You're still here.
Whereas my sister left about 14 years ago.
But that was in 1939 that you came?
I came in here in 1939.
Mm-hmm. So, and you were born, what year again were you born?
1912. That makes you see, so you can respect the elder because you know I'm older than you and you've got to learn to respect the elder.
Okay.
Listen to her.
Let's get back to the silk stockings and the red flannels. Did you take this lady's advice and go back and get on red flannels? And did you get the tools for your barbering?
I did, but my goodness, you know, some of the tools were so dull, but it was. To the man of Dawson, they were quite intrigued that we had a lady barber. And I think if we pulled their whiskers, they never complained. Oh, I could tell you many incidents that happened in that barbershop, I'm telling you. It was really cold, and I don't mean maybe.
Where was you?
At Rochester Barbershop, Rochester Hotel. Yeah. And in the beauty parlor part, we had a petition put up. And every morning when we came in for our work, there was just about a thick ice, just about 5-6 inches of thick ice all over the floor, and we had to break it before we start business.
Well, where did the ice come from?
Well, it wasn't heated enough. It wasn't heated enough.
It wasn't insulated properly.
No, it was in those days, I'm telling you, houses were cold.
Yeah.
It's only since World War II people learned the insulation, and then we used to burn wood. Well, you know what that is. Wood heater heats good when it's heated, mm-hmm. but when it goes down, then in your house...
Then there's no heat.
Yeah, it turns cold.
So you opened the Rochester Barbershop.
Mm-hmm. And we barely made a living, but if we were broke, nobody knew. Everything was new.
Where did you live, Marlene, when you first came?
Rochester was our home until we got a little cabin. In fact, it's on the Queen Street, little cabin is. You know where old liquor store is? Used to be?
I don't remember.
Well, Queen Street and between 6th and 7th.
Oh, mm-hmm.
We had a cute little cabin. But I'm telling you, I didn't know what coal was in that house. I just about roasted out, even though it was 60 or 70. Log cabin. And it was so low, you know, ceiling were so low. And after any big supper, we cooked the roast at all. We had to practically lay down flat on the floor to keep cool. You know. But it was a wonderful experience to us because...
Tanagi. Tanagi?
T-A-N-M-A.
Tanagi.
Yeah.
So, were your parents from Japan?
Yeah, they came from Japan.
To Vancouver.
To begin with, to Vancouver.
And then
I was born there. And then they went to Alberta. But when I was 4 years old, I went back. My parents took us back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we were children of immigrants and they weren't earning good money.
Mm-hmm.
And their intention was to go back home, but when a family start increase, they couldn't afford to take us all back. So we went back to Japan, my sister Winnie and I, and we were raised by grandparents.
I see.
And 9 years later, I'm telling all my history now.
Yeah, good.
9 years later, my dad and mother wanted us back. So we come back. Which would be 1925.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were strictly foreigner, and we were homesick for 3 years. But then...
Did you speak English when you came back?
No. Oh, it was really funny. I knew how to sing God Save Our King, but the way we sang it was comical.
But your parents understood English by then.
Oh, by then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By then, yeah.
But you could communicate with your parents.
Well,
in Japanese.
We could talk to each other in Japanese language. But my father was a great believer, and he even used to write in his arm, you know. And so what he did, he took all our Japanese books away, so we weren't to look at it at all. And I had to go to the primary and go to school. Yeah.
Can you still read Japanese?
Little. They think I can really talk, you know, but they don't know because they don't understand me.
Well, you're able to talk to Japanese people who've been here. That's the important thing. As long
so
as you make yourself understood.
We returned. And then, of course, I went to school 2 years. And then depression hit. And that's when I learned my trade. Because I had to help my dad and mother, you know.
Were you also a beauty operator,
yes,
or a hairdresser?
Yeah.
As well as a barber.
Mm-hmm.
So your sister and you were partners,
yeah,
here then?
We worked together. It was a matter of living at that time.
Of existing.
And then when she got married before I did, well, then her father-in-law insisted she take over the beauty parlor, and I kept at the barber shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we both got married in Dawson. She got married in 1941, eh? 40, I guess. 1940. And I was married in 1946. By that time, war was over, too. Yeah. Dawson has been wonderful, really.
You've lived here ever since then?
Yeah, I'm still here and everybody's gone. Fortunately, Doris coming to see me. And this was I was going to say to Doris about Doris's haircut. She came to get a haircut one day, and I really trimmed her good.
We were chatting, you know,
mm-hmm,
and not paying very much attention to... I wasn't paying any attention to the clicking or the shears getting very busy at the back of my head. And all of a sudden, I put my hand up, and I said, "Oh, Marlene, you cut my hair a little short." She said, "Never mind, dear, it'll grow."
She never let me forget it.
I wish you could have heard my husband's comments.
Yeah, you're going to tell him.
Well, Mark, Doris, tell me about you. You were born here in Dawson, mm-hmm, weren't you?
Yes.
And you were Doris who?
Cameron.
Doris Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And when were you born, if you'll tell me?
Well, I was born quite a long time ago. You know, age is a terrible commitment.
Oh, now, Doris, that's not so long ago.
Oh, it's quite a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
Yes.
Well, let's get off of that.
Yes, let's get off that.
Your parents
else.
Now, your father, did your father come up in 98 or 96?
No, I can't remember, but I think it was about 1903 or 4.
Oh, after the 98 stampede.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps even a little later than that. I'm not really too sure. No, I think I told you that dates really... had never really been a thing that I can remember too well.
But I was just trying to establish, did he come up in the stampede?
Oh, yeah, he came up with the Watt brothers. Now, do you remember Mrs. Norman Watt?
Norman
and Garnet Watt.
Yes.
Well, he was a very good friend of theirs, and he came up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that was, I can't remember, because I wasn't here at the time.
Well, the Watt boys are older than I, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, they're both deceased. Well, anyway, so he came up with them. Now, whether that was in 4 or 5 or 6, I just can't remember. But somewhere in that period.
The 98 stamp.
No, when he came in, you know, he didn't come in the difficult way. He came in on
the railroad.
Comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. On a, you know,
and
on
then
the
down by steamer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And did he remain here all of his life?
No, he didn't. He left, I think it was around... 1914 or 15,
mm-hmm,
and of course he never returned. And then we went out. Oh, I don't remember what year it was. I think it was about 1916 when we left. And went to Victoria, and in Vancouver, where we went to school.
Oh, she's all right.
That's about That's the new exact name.
Then you came back here though. When you were
well, this is the you know this is the important part. I came back in 1933,
mm-hmm.
and then I lived on here until 63 when I left. And my husband, of course, died in 1958.
Your husband was
Franklin Osborne.
Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
O-S-B-O-R-N-E?
No, E.
B-O-R-N. Uh-huh. He died in 1958.
Mm-hmm. So and he was also born here.
Oh, was he?
I started kindergarten here, and of course, frankly, finished school here. And then my two daughters were both born here, and we all went to the same school, which, of course, burned. It was 1952, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Isn't that so, wonderful, eh?
So we all had our start there.
So you're all born here and all
mm-hmm.
went to school here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you left after your husband's death. Did you mm-hmm. go out and leave Dawson?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you said you left in 1963.
Yes, right, right. And I lived in Vancouver.
To be near your children.
Well, because the girls had to go to school, and, you know, if mm-hmm. You want to specialize in any particular thing,
you have to go out,
and, you know, if you want to further your education, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out with them, and so I've been living in Vancouver ever since.
Mm-hmm. But you're here just for this summer?
Oh, I just come up for 2-3 months during the year.
Year. This is
eighth year that I've been
coming
back.
Oh.
I'm very fortunate, really, because I do get little rest.
That's great.
Well, I really enjoy it.
Even though
you
cut
know.
Her hair short and she was...
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was really great.
That's a good one.
Oh, did you ever do that to any of your men customers?
Not particularly, not a haircut short, but we did have a very, very comical experience. You probably heard about Zoom, Madam Zoom. Her name was Mrs. Corbett after, but her, she was known as Madam Zoom. She was quite a character. She was a marvelous pianist, and she used to wear her hair. Instead of setting into waves, she'd get I don't know whether if you remember, permanent wave they used to give with machines.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the curl is out, they come all just like an afro haircut.
Yes.
Just, you know. But when the chemical machine, permanent came, chemical, without the electricity,
mm-hmm.
well, my sister was giving her permanent. But she used to come inebriated and with a bottle of gin. And you know, she don't sit still, and you could do about it. And oh, she'll tell my sister she was the worst hairdresser just to get her goat. But anyhow, in the course of moving around, about three curls got loosened and the metal touched the hair. So when the time was up, she was ready to take curls off, and guess what happened? One flopped and rolled down the floor. Next thing flopped and rolled down the floor. Another one. And Winnie says, oh my goodness, goodness, what I'm going to do. But she's a quick thinker. So it was dance night that night. And as I told you, she used to wear afro haircut. But if she didn't set it to cover it, it would show a bald spot, right? Now, I don't know if I should finish all the rest of the story.
Oh, yeah, please do.
But this is definitely comical. But anyhow, she said, Zoom, I got a good idea. Why don't you ball with the dance, the people at the dance? Let's be different tonight. She said, what do you think? What do you got on your mind, Marley, Winnie? Sure, what do you think? Well, I decided today I'm going to set your hair really different. Oh, good, says, you go ahead and do it, Winnie. So Winnie was relieved. And when you set your hair, of course, you cover, you know, thing.
Yeah.
And she got her hair set, and she said, my goodness, that's not me. Yeah, but she said, won't they all be surprised? Just like this, you know. But trouble wasn't over with, because she couldn't make it. Well, after everything was set and she was going to go under the dryer, you know, she says, Is it all right if I took a slug now, you know? So she said, you go ahead. Okay. Because by that time, then she'd be feeling good. She got dressed up. Evidently went home and got dressed up. They decided to go with a boyfriend to dance. And of course, having a glorious time and came home. And she didn't know just exactly what happened, but all she knew when she got up next morning, she saw a couple of spots there. And she said to Winnie, boy, did they like my hairdo. Look what my boyfriend did. She liked my curls so much, look at what she cut off. He cut it off. For Keith's sake. And wasn't that a good one? We never forget that.
Yeah,
Winnie was relieved.
Yeah, did she ever find out?
Never. She's gone now, and she never found out.
Yeah.
But that's a
good story.
She was a famous woman, though, really, wasn't she, Doris?
Well, yeah, she was. She's very interesting. She could be very interesting.
But she very could well also... Informed.
She could also down the gin.
And how? If she decided to move out of door, and if she decided to stay in a place and they refuse her, you might as well know it. She'd go right flat on the floor and no one could get her up. Mm-hmm. And she'd scream. But boy, she can really sew.
She was very creative, really.
She was a girl. She saw a drape you like, she would just tear the drape down.
Make a dress.
She says, I'll show you, and she make a dress. Mm-hmm. But one day she came with some real creation. Every stitch was done with those little safety pin. Every stitch, and the safety pin was out. So you can see all the safety pins.
Mm-hmm. They're straight pins?
No, safety. You know those little gold safety pins? You've seen those? Yeah. Oh, and she can play piano too.
Oh, yes, yeah, she played very well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She really did.
She is a quite character. Would I be defacing her character in case they hurt her? I think maybe her sisters. Would they be alive?
I don't think so. She has sons.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt very much.
They never would.
Her name was Zuhuzen.
Zuhuzen. Madam Zuhuzen. Well, anyhow, how... how she got married was... It was at the bar, and there was three boys who wanted to marry her. So they cut cards, and highest man won. And
highest
that's how
man
she
got her.
That's
yeah.
how she got married.
Yeah.
Was she married just that one time?
Yeah, but her husband got killed in a war, so... Yeah. I wouldn't be a bit surprised she was married before.
Probably.
Well, she had children.
She did?
Oh, yes. Of course, she gave... Maddie Chapman and I got a long dissertation about her,
mm-hmm.
her life as a young woman mm-hmm. before she prior to coming here. So, mm-hmm.
well, your husband now was he Dawson?
No,
Gordon Dawson.
How I met Jack was right after the war. They were building a radio station in Dawson, and he was the foreman of the project, corporal in the army. And I must tell you how we felt. Young two girls, both Bubbles and I, wasn't going to have anything to do with the Army boys. Not on your life. We weren't going to have anything to do with it.
Now, who's Bubbles?
Bubbles Neff was a dentist's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But by golly, here we both ended up marrying two of the Army boys.
I guess the one should never say, I never will.
You should never say that. We weren't going to have nothing to do with the Army boys, but when we got to like them, we decided, after all, they were somebody else's brother.
Of course.
They got a sister's too.
Yeah.
He's been a wonderful man, though. He's a carpenter by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And he done a lot of contract work. He's semi-retired, and now he helps me with the making, you know, little jewelry we sell. And
do you make some of your jewelry?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not all, you know, because... After all, there's somebody better craftsman, but we can do lots of nugget work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do you get your gold for your
Dawson.
Jewelry?
Right Dawson here? Minor.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't get Dawson Minor, we get from Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting very, very hard now.
It's pretty what is the price of gold today?
I believe it's a little over $100, but for jewelry gold, I don't think they would part with it for any less than 150 up.
That is pure gold. Pretty pure.
And the nugget, what I mean by it's nuggets.
Yeah. Picked gold.
Yeah, picked gold, yeah. But unfortunately, people have an idea it's going to go high, you know.
And they're holding on to it now. However,
we don't let it bother us. You know, there's other ways you can make a nugget jewelry. And people are just as happy, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, they all like a natural nugget. Have you got any natural nugget?
No, I don't.
Doris was not much the love of a nugget, although she's got that nice.
No, I know. I can't really say I'm not really terribly fond of nugget jewelry. I like. I mean, I've always had a nugget bracelet. I've always had a nugget bracelet. I think the first one I had, my mother got me when I was about 4 years old, and I've always had a gold bracelet. You know,
never realizing, you know, Doris would ever gonna come back, sort of give me a hand once in a while. We got quite friendly after she lost her husband.
And do you remember the first time I met you?
After I came to Dawson.
Yes.
Sure, you invited us to.
No. The first time I met you, invited Pearl Carson and myself to lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And you had lunch very beautifully prepared. And Pearl and I had to have it on our own because you were busy. Mm-hmm. You had the table all beautifully laid and we had lunch.
You know, how would you get away? We get away from
that
it.
That was prior to my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That was before 1980.
And I was at your place for dinner too. Did you remember that?
Yeah.
And you remember I would never forget that little dress. It was a flare skirted aquamarine dress, and I never realized I could wear blue.
Oh.
And I just loved it. She had a dress shop at that time when I.
See.
Yeah, just a small.
And there she is, she's helping me in the dress shop, keeping my place so neat. When she goes away, it's just like a cyclone hit the place, but it's winter time, I don't know.
Well, you know, I suppose she didn't get me in the way sometimes, because I'm always, after she looks after a customer, I right there after her. And one of these days, she's going to get very annoyed with me, I'm afraid.
No, I don't mind. No. I think that we should respect each other's, you know, views, nature.
Idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, idiosyncrasies, and I always warn her, you know, I says, Doris, all I have to say, I've had it, Marnie. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm going to go, or anything like that. And that's the way we should get along that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have our certain features, the poor nature and the good feature, redeeming features and whatnot. And
well,
I think we make our mind to respect that. There's no reason why we can get along.
Oh, no.
I always tell her if I'm tired, I'll just go there and lie down.
That's the best remedy for being tired is lying down.
Have
you had the shop here then?
Since 1951, eh? It'll be 51.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, Dick and Margaret Diamond had it. They're wonderful people. When he was ill. And they decided to leave the country. He couldn't think of no one else. And he phoned us, wondered if we wouldn't take over the store. And told us, you don't need to worry. You can take 10 years, 20 years, that doesn't matter. Just take over. And if you could raise a few, you know, dollars, cash. Of course, there weren't hardly any stock then.
No,
because they felt that I had a trade, you know, I was a beautician. My husband was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we got in. I didn't want to get into business again after I got married. I wasn't doing things for 5 years, really. Just go once in a while to help Winnie. Because Winnie was raising family and still working. But I knew as soon as Jack signed the contract, I've got my job cut out for me.
Yeah.
Because I've been in business before and I know you got to work hard.
You have to work hard and you have to serve the public.
Yes, you do.
Then, you own this building and then the lot next door?
Yes, now. Yeah, we used to own the four. We used to own the Florida Hotel, my little cabin.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get older, you're foolish to be tied down to everything and rest to death.
Yeah.
And I thought that Jack shouldn't have to work hard anymore, so.
You've got a wonderful spot right here from
across
and the...
We do have it. Mm-hmm. We do have a very, very good location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's not terribly big, but there's plenty there for people to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never wanted any counters in the center. I never wanted. I wanted to have so that you could see. And I think it's perfect. I'm very happy with it.
So you've retired from the hairdressing business and the barbering?
Yeah. Just family. My husband, my son, my son complains about my haircut, but he don't dare trust anybody else, does he? Oh, I think...
There's no beauty operator in town now, is there?
There is a couple that'll do, you know.
Oh, okay.
There for a long time I had to oblige people, but you really can't. You know, as much as you like to help them, you can't, because, you know, you're
have
really
your own
tired
business. Now while she's changing the...
No. I don't remember the name. Because, I remember a lot of names.